him and fill my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when he saved my soul.
Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day when the Lord saved your soul? What a day that was indeed. There was no day like it. Thank God I'm saved today. Thank God I'm saved by the blood, washed in the blood, ready to meet the Lord. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. Our program today, ISIS, the spirit and furor of the war of Gog and Magog, the spirit and furor of the coming war of Gog and Magog. I've not heard anybody say much about the war of Gog and Magog for some months now, and yet it seems the Middle East is just ready, just perfectly aligned for them to start their march toward Israel. Well, my friend, there is no doubt about it. We are living in this hour. We cannot even begin to question that. Everything suggests it. Everything suggests it. And I'm going to give you 10 things today to think about. Now, I don't set dates. I don't set times. I don't say it's got to happen any given time. I believe there's two events that are on God's calendar that are next in line. One is the rapture, and the other is the war of Gog and Magog. I don't know which begins first. Only the Father would know that. And I presume, in fact, I know, why did I say presume? I know that at the right moment, whichever is next will occur. I pray it be the rapture. And then I think I would love to watch the result of the war of Gog and Magog, because God is going to make his name known to this world. The Father of this Bible, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Savior's Heavenly Father that sent him to die for us, he's going to make himself known to this world. And I'm telling you, it will never be a question again of who is the true and one and only living God. Now, it will be a question in some people's mind, but not in the mind of the majority of this earth. Now, I want you to stop what you're doing if you can. I mean, maybe you're at work, maybe you're in the car. Of course, you don't want you to quit driving or either stop the car. But I want you to hear this broadcast, and I want you to get your mind set on how prophetically fulfilled this Holy Bible is, and how the moment of his coming can be any moment now. If you doubt it's imminent, I pray you'll get in this Bible and learn that the coming of the Lord is imminent even at the door. What a day. What a day. Now, ISIS, nobody is questioning the viciousness, the vileness. I mean, the diabolical. I've never heard of a group of people that are so evil in my life. These people are vicious beyond understanding. They can cut a throat of a little child. They can chop off the head of a little girl, a boy. They can burn men in cages. I mean, these people know no end to their vileness. They know no end. If they do not fit the character of the coming war of Gog and Magog against Israel, then there's nowhere to find that character. It cannot match beyond this evil of ISIS that's coming on this world. And believe me, I got a picture on the front of an article I'm going to give you today of people being crucified, Christians being crucified by ISIS in different places of the world. How many have died? Nobody knows. Thousands. I don't think there's any doubt but thousands. And here's the sad thing. While our soldiers and our arms are doing some damage against ISIS, as I read the picture, they probably have two, three, four, five people that volunteer to be part of ISIS for everybody that is killed. So they are growing in a manner that's indescribable. Well, it's impossible to discover an organization that better fits and represents Gog and Magog. ISIS is perfect. ISIS is perfect. Now, let me read to you 10 things, I'm sorry. One, ISIS is driven by the hatred of Israel and the Jews and Christianity and the Christians. They're driven by that. That is what drives them. The exact mindset of Gog and Magog and the horde that will be part of that is right there preparing if this is it. I'm not setting a date. I'm not telling you it's about to happen. I believe it is, but I don't know when. And so I'm not going to come on here and say it's going to happen in 2015 or 2016. I just believe it could happen any moment. The exact mindset of that horde that marches on Israel in Gog and Magog is evident in this crowd of people who make up this organization called ISIS. The central headquarters of this crowd is where? Syria. Where is Syria? Syria is the very planning ground, the very center of the marching horde that march against Israel in the war of Gog and Magog. So they're in place geographically. They have the right mindset. The central headquarters, as I just said, is Syria. Their choicest friend. Who is the choicest friend of ISIS? Iran. Iran, without a question. Nobody can doubt that. Iran is right in there with them. Oh, they'll make a few sounds like they might would help defeat this crowd. But no, they're part of that crowd. There's no ifs and ands about that. Iran and ISIS are just like this. And listen, Russia is just like that with Iran. And Iran is just like that with ISIS. So what do you have? You have Russia and Iran. Have you heard Putin say anything about this war of Gog and Magog? I'm sorry, this war of the ISIS group? Have you heard him say anything? Is he taking any stands? Is he sending any jets in to stop them? You answer that question by going to the news. I can't find anything. I've been looking. Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. We've got Iran and Russia that's in the pocket of ISIS. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't know that totally. I don't have absolute proof of that. But I just tell you all the circumstances are there to suggest that Russia and Iran are in the pocket with ISIS. So that's number three. Number four, the battle array against the Jews is exactly the mindset of ISIS. Same as Gog and Magog. This mindset, Israel has got to be destroyed. I mean, you can't have Israel in the Middle East. I mean, we're talking about 15 million people at the most, maybe 20. That isn't even 1% of 1%. That isn't even 0.01% of the population of the earth. And yet all of these nations are willing to set their whole battle array against Israel. That's Gog and Magog. That's the whole mindset of Gog and Magog. Now, the brutality of these people is exactly the brutality that you see in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Brutal beyond measure. Brutal beyond measure. The movement is controlled. The movement is controlled by exactly what's going to control the Gog and Magog movement. It's controlled by demonic powers, by spirits of evil and wickedness that you cannot doubt they come from the pit of hell. They cannot doubt that it's all wickedness out of the very region of the damned. Nobody doubts that, I don't think. That understands anything about the devil and anything about evil. Well, it's just, it's amazing. There is no meaningful effort of ISIS against Russia. I said that a while ago, very much. Russia is 100% in Iran's pocket. There's no doubt about that. Obama is absolutely unwilling to show any meaningful disgust for ISIS. Boy, did you see that this week at that prayer breakfast when he compared the ISIS group with past Christian groups. But those Christian groups he named wasn't Christian groups that represent this Bible. I'm here to tell you, Jesus came to save. He didn't come to destroy. The spirit of ISIS is perfect with a biblical picture of every enemy of Israel and the very enemies that will constitute the crowd that marches on Israel in Gog and Magog. So I can say without a doubt that ISIS and Gog and Magog have a kinship that is perfect. They have a kinship that is perfect. I don't know the connections. I can't prove anything to you except say, look at the circumstance. Look at the news reports. Look at what's happening. Look at who's involved. Look at the spirit of it. Look at the brutality of it. Look at the mindset of it. Look at the hatred for Israel. Hatred for the Jews is at the heart of all of ISIS feelings and movement. I mean, they are determined, but not just Israel, but us Christians and any nation, anybody, for instance, Jordan this week, because Jordan has been willing to identify with us in this effort to stop ISIS, the little effort that we're making, not anything meaningful, but the little effort, they're willing. Look at the thing that's happened. But look at the stand of King Abdullah. I should have practiced that a little bit, but I didn't. I want to tell you something, friend. We are close to Bible fulfillment. We are in the middle of Bible fulfillment. We are close to the coming of the Lord. We're close to these end time events. And I hope I wake you up. If you're not awake, I pray that I will awake you, because I believe that ISIS is a perfect picture of every group, every crowd, everything that represents the crowd that will make up Gog and Magog. I believe they fit every part of that picture. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be that group, and it's going to start with ISIS, but it certainly looks like the possibility is there, and the probability may well be there. But one thing we do know, the Bible will be fulfilled perfectly, and there will be a war of Gog and Magog. You understand that? There is no question of that. There will be a war of Gog and Magog. This Bible cannot be ever denied or stopped in perfect fulfillment. It will occur, and we're looking for it any moment. Now you go to Ezekiel and you read 38:39, and you see how vicious this crowd is. You see the things that's going to happen, but you don't want to forget, God must be seen in the picture. God must be reckoned with when this whole thing begins. Now, who can stop ISIS? I don't think anybody can. I think it's a matter that there are enough people in the world that will join that crowd. If we kill 10 million of them, there'll be 20 more million that will join in with them. Everybody that is killed, every newscast that's done, everything that's happening is only causing another group of wild, radical, evil-thinking people to say, hey, I'm going to go help that crowd. And, I mean, I think there was some arrest today right here in America, maybe from Boston, where people were on their way to Syria to join in with ISIS. This thing is growing beyond measure. Hey, friend, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, let me open the lines for you. I'm really excited. I'm going to tell you, this Bible thrills my soul. I am so thrilled with everything this blessed old book represents. I'm so thrilled with all the prophetic truths that are being fulfilled in perfect order. You can dot every line. You can cross every T. You can put your exclamation point with everything this Bible has said, because it's all going to happen. It's all going to be fulfilled. And if you're not born again, If you're not right with God, I cry out for you to get right with God. One thing I've made up my mind, and that is I must not glory save in the cross. And I want to tell you, Jesus died for your sins. And you don't have to be part of this evil thing that's coming on this world. It can happen, and you may be living here if the war of Gog and Magog occurs before the rapture, even if you're born again, even if you're an old-fashioned Christian, and that rapture doesn't occur, and you don't die. I don't know what's going to happen in mine, your lifetime, but I know it's going to get worse by the hour. It's going to get more vicious by the hour. Wickedness is going to grow in a manner that's going to boggle your mind, and if you don't understand it from the biblical perspective, you're going to be a very confused person, and you're going to be a scared person. The hearts of men are filling them for fear for looking on the things coming on this earth. They really are. It's just that serious. And I pray that you'll get yourself right with God. The grace of God reaches to every sinner out there. And let me tell you, grace don't cover sin. Grace cleanses sin. And if you think grace covers you in your wicked living, somebody has lied to you and you believe that lie. You remember that grace cleanses sin. Grace never covers sin. I said grace cleanses sin. Whatever grace touches, it cleanses. Whatever grace touches, it cleanses. If you claim grace without the cleansing of the blood, then you have a misconception of grace. And I beg of you to turn to Christ. Now, let's open the lines. Let's stay on this subject, please. Please. We'll talk about grace shortly, but I want to talk about the war of Gog and Magog today. And I want any question you've got out there, let me get the web page up here so I can see what is going on. Now, please, grab your phone. Grab your mouse, whichever you want to use, and give me a call. I want to hear from you. I want questions about ISIS, questions about the war of Gog and Magog, questions about who's going to be involved. Do you know how many nations is probably going to be involved in the war of Gog and Magog? Maybe something like 30. Even you've got Germany, Goma. That's going to be involved in this war of Gog and Magog. They've never really truly been judged for what happened in World War II and the Nazi regime and the multiplied millions of Jews and Christians that they slaughtered viciously. Just as vicious, by the way, as this whole thing of ISIS. I mean, really, just as vicious. Well, grab your phones. Want to hear from you. You are very, very important to me, extremely so, and I want you on the lines with me today, and I want to hear your questions and your remarks. Here's a statement to start with. Sin is an imaginary disease designed to set an imaginary cure. Oh, here's an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of the Bible. A man who believes that the gospel of Jesus Christ is imaginary and therefore sin is imaginary. I wonder if he read the paper this week when that pilot from Jordan was put in a cage, dosed with gas and set on fire and watched under video as he burned to death. And then shown to the world. I guess that's imaginary. Reckon it is. How about those children that are being killed in Iraq? Is that imaginary? How about all the women that are being raped and slaughtered? Is that imaginary? How about all these vicious, evil things? How about the dark things across America? How about the thieves and the liars and the cheats? Is that imaginary? Come on, sir. Come on, sir. You see, when you know those kind of lives and you've been set free from the power of sin and you've been saved by the blood, you won't think this gospel is imaginary. This gospel is penetratingly powerful and mighty to save. And nobody out there that cannot be redeemed unless you've crossed the bloodline, unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you can be redeemed. You just must call on him and surrender to him. He doesn't save you while you continue in your sins. He saves you because you repent of your sins and turn to him. The lines are open. Thank you, sir. I'm glad this person is listening that doesn't believe this gospel, and I pray that they will come to know the wonder of Jesus Christ. the great Lord. Oh, isn't Jesus Christ, my Lord, wonderful, magnificent beyond measure? And we have access to the Father through his blood by his divine sacrifice. The Bible calls it the door, a veil, and it says his flesh is that veil, that magnificent Christ who opened the door into the presence of the Heavenly Father. What a gospel to preach. What a gospel to preach. I'm considering preaching on the grace of God in the morning. Haven't got it set in my heart yet. Sometimes early, sometimes a little later. But it'll be there, and it'll be the gospel, and it'll be the Christ of Calvary. And I'm telling you, he'll save. And I'm looking for people to be saved and come to Christ tomorrow. And I would be delighted for somebody to come to Christ today. Right while I sit here, I would love to lead you to the saving blood. Now, let's talk about this war of Gog and Magog. And let me ask you, do you see in ISIS the preparatory, the preparation, the gathering of forces, the right location, the right mindset, the right attitude? Do you see in all of that what could constitute the beginning of the war of Gog and Magog? Do you see that? Do you have questions about that? What do you think out there? There's too little Bible knowledge in the land today. Too many people who haven't heard these great truths preached. You don't know the depth of the gospel. You don't know the depth of prophecy. Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm planning to start a Bible study in the daytime in Gastonia on the book of Revelation. I've talked with one person about a location. If that location doesn't pan, I want a location in Gastonia for something like a Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, one or the other, Bible study in Gastonia. And I also want one at night over here in somewhere the eastern part of Charlotte, where there's such a dearth of truth, where there's so little of the prophecy being preached, where there's so little of the great book of Revelation being taught. I want to teach it. And so I'm looking for a place here in Charlotte, one night a week, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know what night would be best. Somewhere in Charlotte, somewhere in somebody's home, somewhere in a good place where men and women can gather together and study the book of Revelation. I'll be there to help you and lead you. God has opened my understanding of Revelation. I love to teach it. It's a breathtaking book. It really is. And so I'm looking for that somewhere in Gastonia in the daytime, 10 o'clock, say, on a Wednesday morning or whatever. I don't know the best time, but I'm just open to whatever the Lord leads, whatever the Lord directs, because I want to get people digging in to this Bible and this book of Revelation. Now, I want you to understand this war of Gog and Magog. Now, ISIS, the spirit and fury of the war of Gog and Magog, they match and they come together so perfectly. So there is possibilities of these connections, a possibility of the timing. We're waiting on the Lord to set the date and send the forces in the right direction. And I believe me, God is in charge. Nobody can say when this day is going to begin. Nobody can set it. Nobody can inaugurate it. The Father will give the direction. I am longing for the will of God in all I do more than I've ever known in my life. I don't even want a Bible study in Gastonia, except the Lord lead at the right place at the right time according to his wisdom. Across town, a Bible study on Revelation at his hour, at his time, at his place, according to his will. I'm longing to get people understanding and digging deep into the great book of Revelation, the great prophecies of the Bible. Now, I want to hear from you. The lines are open, 1-800-338-7884. Grab your phone, will you? And I want to give you this article on ISIS, okay? ISIS, the spirit and fury of Gog and Magog. And I give it to you today. All you got to do is call, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And you need to do it quickly. I want you involved in this very, very subject. And I want to get this booklet to you. You can get two if you will give one of them to your pastor. And maybe we'll get some ministers preaching about this soon coming event. I mean, we are at the door. I'm here to tell you, we are at the door. Now, the lines are open. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. My email, jrc at Paw Creek, P-A-W, pawcreek.org. Notice I said pawcreek.org, okay? JRC at pawcreek.org. Grab your email, your mouse, of course, and your phone, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. I want you to have this booklet. I send you these things, and we send material all over the world. We hear from people in every part of this globe. By the way, we're now on Facebook and Twitter, and so you can find us on either of those, sending out material, communicating wonderful truths to people, and doing our best to win as many as we can win. I'm like Apostle Paul. I'm willing to give everything I've got to win one soul anywhere that God will give me. If you're not saved, I beg of you, come to Christ. The gospel is mighty to save. The blood will wash you of your sins and make a new creature out of you, and you'll never be the same again. Grab your phone. I'm waiting to hear from you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, my question is, I heard even like some pastors say, I think Ezekiel 38, it referenced to Rosh, R-O-S-H.
Yes.
Things that could refer to Russia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me go right with you in the Bible. No question that we see Russia. I've dug through all of this. I have a big notebook on the War of Gog and Magog that we send to lots of people. And I take each one of these names and I dig through them for the people and give the ethnological, I think I said that right, background of each word. And we go here to the book of Ezekiel 38. And God said, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back." And he goes on down in names of Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Goma, and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, the northern quarters, and he goes right through naming these countries that are going to be involved. And all of that is in that notebook. So there's no question of the nations involved. Turkey's involved, Germany's involved, all of those nations that used to be part of the USSR are involved, Persia's involved, that's Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, all of these nations, all of them exist today, too, by the way.
Because isn't Iraq...
No, Iraq is not part of that.
Okay. Wow, so that's amazing. So Rosh, that would... written that years ago, that's amazing how that would...
It's amazing that these scriptures written nearly about 2,500 years ago... 2,500 years ago. Now, Ezekiel was in Babylon, where he'd been carried away in the captivity. He was sitting by the river Kibar, and the Holy Ghost was speaking to him and gave him these exact words. And see, that's the difference. People ask me about Psalms 83. Because there's been a book written that there's a war there that has to occur before Gog and Magog. And that's a misnomer, terrible misnomer. I mean, terrible. And all you got to do is go to Psalms 83 and you find the different people named that don't even exist today. Don't even exist. I mean, it's amazing. See, how can you make that a prophecy, Psalms 83, when nations named in Psalms 83 don't even exist? And yet you go to Ezekiel 38, 39, and every one of them is right there today fulfilling all the meaning of each word.
That's amazing. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, I'm delighted, and I'm grateful to share that, because people have to need to know Ezekiel 38, 39 is a perfect prophecy picture that you cannot find one thing in it that doesn't match exactly where we are right now.
Yeah, so Ezekiel is and also Revelation, both on prophecy. Most people talk about Revelation, but Ezekiel seems to have a lot.
Well, Ezekiel is, you see, the Old Testament prophets spoke of many of the wonderful things in the New Testament, and all the way back to the very book of Genesis, you have prophecies and connections of prophecies, that the Bible is a perfect book, a perfect order. Every I is dotted and every T is crossed from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22.
Right, yeah, there's no contradictions in it.
Not one contradiction in the Bible. Now, people have tried to make two or three or four. I've never heard, I think, two or three contradictions. And all you got to do is dig in them a little bit and get all the details, and they're not a contradiction at all.
Yeah, Right.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, it's been a joy to hear from you. Please call again and keep listening. Grab your phone, folks. I want to hear from you. Whoever you are out there, I want you involved on this program today. I want to hear your question. See, people have heard so little of these truths until it's like they can't even connect. And I'm trying to connect you. I'm trying to connect you because I want to get you excited about the coming of the Lord. And all the good things that's happening all around us. They are everywhere. And grab your phone. I'm waiting to hear from you. Let's go to a question here. Obama, what do you think about Obama's remark comparing what Christians did in a crusade 1,000 years ago to what ISIS is doing today? Here is what he said, and I read that to you. I'm glad this person gave it to me. Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other people. Remember that during the Crusades and Inquisitions, people committed horrible deeds in the name of Christ. President Barack Obama said Thursday at the annual National Prayer Breakfast, and why didn't that crowd get up and walk out? I mean, they should have cleared that building to show Obama what an idiot he was for saying such a thing. Comparing ISIS with Christians? Let's say there were some terrible things done 1,000 years ago, but they didn't represent Bible-believing Christians. They didn't represent people who believe this book and who preach Jesus Christ and the saving blood, the saving grace of the Lord. They represented a different day, a different world, and a different religion from what we believe about this Bible. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow are all too often what was justified in the name of Christ. Now, it was Christians who helped put an end to slavery. It was Christians who helped put an end to Jim Crow. Do you understand that? Why does he bring up things like that? Well, he's got to stir the radical divisions of our nation, which he's been doing ever since he's been in office. Better grab your phone. Get me off of this, please. Please, get me off of this. Listen, the coming of the Lord's at the door. The coming of the Lord's at the door. Let me tell you, one of the saddest things happening right now with ISIS is the attitude of our president. I mean, this dear man doesn't have a clue. He is so ignorant of anything that has to do with this Bible and the truth of Holy Scripture. The man is pitiful. Please pray for him. Please pray for him. I mean, seriously. But he's not alone. The churches of America are full of preachers and big leaders who are just as ignorant of the prophecy truths of this Bible, who are just as liberal in their views and concepts of what's happening. But I'm telling you, this Bible is pure and perfect. And ISIS is a picture, maybe not the final picture, but a picture of what is developing in our world and what is going to happen. And the Middle East is going to march on that little nation of Israel, and they're going to march expecting to eradicate Israel from the face of this earth and absolutely destroy and kill every Jew alive. And then they'll come right after us. You just remember, if they could succeed in Israel, America would be next in row. If they could succeed in Israel, hey, this is something to remember. I've never said this before. If they could succeed in eliminating Israel, eliminating the Jews from the face of that place, and literally taking it over and destroying everything of Jewish idea and Jewish content, they would then come after you and me right here in America. And we would not have, see, Israel's going to have God fighting for them. With the backslidden condition of America, I'm afraid God wouldn't be fighting for us. He'd fight for those who are his people. But we are in a backslidden mess with same-sex marriage and the killing of unborn children and every other wickedness and evil and just every effort to eradicate Christianity from the public sector of this nation. No, we are in trouble, my friend, and we're in deep trouble. And I'm telling you, God is going to set us free, and God is going to deliver us. Hey, you better call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Where are my emails now. They should be loaded. You know that, don't you? They should be loaded. Pastor Chambers, Ezekiel 38, 10 and 11, says the land will not have any protection whatsoever that doesn't fit the present situation today in the land of Israel. Well, you are misconstructing that, sir. I believe this with all my heart. Israel has no real protection except what God has given them. And of course, they're very intelligent, very smart. They've been able to put a shield over their country. They've got a lot of things helping protect them. But as far as that crowd is, if it wasn't for God and his hand, they would have long ago disappeared from the face of the earth. Every war they've fought has been a miraculous victory. I'm sorry to say, friend, but that could not be wrong. Let me read it. Let's not be too quick to pass it. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into the mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, you go and study all of Israel. There's a few walls. There's some cities with some walls. There's a few things like that. But as a whole, it does not exist. They are very vulnerable. That's why America has been their close ally, their very dearest friends, their best political connection, and we've been there for them, and we've provided many wonderful armaments for them, and so to say that eliminates this from being the day, I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. I think you got to look at the whole picture. And when you look at the whole picture, I think Israel right now could be invaded by Gog and Magog, and not one thing would be contrary to Scripture. But, you know, you have a different opinion. We're going to still be friends. Okay? I want to hear from you. You're on the air. If you'll call, it'll be our joy. We don't want anybody being heard. You are important to us. So grab your phone and call quickly. Don't want to miss anybody. So I'm trying to check my phone clearly to see what I might have anywhere. Call quickly. I want to hear from you. I hit the wrong thing there. You're important to us, and we will do anything we can to help you understand what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a dark hour. All right. Emails are open, jrc@paulcreek.org, phone number 704-391-0588, and then, of course, the local number 704-391-0588, and now the toll-free 1-800-338-7884. Now, I really want to give you this article. I really do. ISIS, the spirit and furor of Gog and Magog. The spirit and furor of Gog and Magog. I think you need this to study and to just understand what God has said. Do you know what God has said? The Lord did not set his love upon you, not chose you because you were much in number, more in number than any people, but you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath which he had made with you. You know, the Bible is just so clear. Israel was chosen of God. And you can't destroy the Jews. It is impossible. It cannot happen. God will see to that. And you know that ISIS, that's their determination. I mean, they are so anxious to wipe this world free of every Jew. It is amazing to me, but it won't happen. You can depend on it. Now grab your phone. I'd like for these last 23 minutes to be filled with phone calls. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. What is your question? What do you think about ISIS? How many of you see the viciousness there and can compare it to your Bible and the book of Ezekiel 38:39? It's a perfect picture. It really is a perfect picture. Let me make sure I get the right number here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I want to say how much I enjoy your ministry.
I'm delighted, ma'am.
I didn't hear the first part of your show today or your remarks about Gog and Magog, but my question is this a different war than the Battle of Armageddon?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a good question. Is the war of Gog and Magog different than the war of Armageddon? You see, the battle of Gog and Magog is uniquely different than the battle of Armageddon. And let me give you some reasons. Number one, the religious concept in the war of Gog and Magog is Islam. These are all Islamic thinking people and those who join with the Islamic people. So the battle of Gog and Magog is driven by the religion of Allah, the religion of the Muslims. Then you go over to the battle of Armageddon, and you see a religion that's driven by apostate Christianity. Apostate Christianity is the core of the religion of Armageddon. See, because 7 years, the false Christ, see, the Islamic don't have a false Christ, but the apostate church world has false Christ by numbers. I mean, we live in the day of the Antichrist gathering all of his forces, Antichrist. And see, that doesn't match the Muslim religion at all. So you have to keep the war of Gog and Magog separate, because it is a regional war that covers the Middle East. And the war of Armageddon is a worldwide war that covers the world. And so there's several factors, many more than I've just named, but plenty of proof that these are two different wars.
Okay. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, and this is, of course, after the millennium, and it says, "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle." So what is that referring to there?
That is a good question. You see, the devil will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There will be people being born all over the earth during that 1,000 years. It's a period of natural people as well as God's people who will rule the world with Christ, who will rule the kingdoms of the earth with Christ. It'll be a millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ as the head and the king reigning from Jerusalem. At the end of that 1,000 years, these people on the earth that have been born during the 1,000 years have never been tempted. They've never had the answer to Christ or for Christ. They've been able to go about their life, and if they didn't go to Jerusalem in proper order, they would not be blessed, and there was certainly some things involved. But they now must be tempted so they can make a choice. And so many of the world's new population during the 1,000 years will make a choice for the devil. And it's called Gog and Magog because of the similarity to this war of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel.
Okay. That answers my question very well.
I'm delighted. The Bible is such a marvelous book. And that particular question has certainly intrigued and even confused a lot of people, because it uses the term Gog and Magog. But it's very careful if you look at it. This Gog and Magog is a worldwide movement, and the other Gog and Magog is very much geographically contained, and he names the names of the nations in that first one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ask you one more quick question.
Yes, you can.
Do you believe that Babylon will be rebuilt?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I have a book about that. I have a book called The Palace for the Antichrist. It was published by New Leaf Press some years ago. A very good book, still available. And that book, I really document that Babylon will be rebuilt. I've been there twice. I plan to go again. I'm just waiting until when it's safe enough to go.
Okay. So what does, in Isaiah 13, when it talks about that it will never, shall never be inhabited.
Well, that's true, but it hasn't happened yet. See, that happens. If you'll go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, you will see the final end of Babylon. Let me read it to you. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." That's Revelation 18, 1 and 2. That is the fulfillment of the scripture you just quoted from Ezekiel.
Okay. So you do believe it is a literal city that will...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. God never judges a nation with a symbolic name for the nation with a literal name. Babylon is Babylon. It has been the center of wickedness all through the centuries. The name Babylon, as a city, is the second most named city in the Bible, Jerusalem being the first. They are the antithesis of each other. Babylon is the very seed of hell. Babylon is where all false religions began, with the Tower of Babel. Jerusalem is where God revealed himself and shown his power. These cities are the opposites of each other. And if you'll go to the book of, I'm trying to remember the book, where it speaks of Jesus actually going to the city. Go into the city of Babylon, where he will defeat the Antichrist during or at the close of the Battle of Armageddon. So there's much scripture about it. And you can order that book, by the way, from here.
And what was the name of that book?
A Palace for the Antichrist.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, I've enjoyed talking to you. And bless your heart. And you on the air. May I help you, please? Can I help you, please? I hear me, but can I help the person that's called me?
I'm on air.
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Go ahead quickly with your question, please.
Yeah, the part over in the book of Zechariah and the old Bible, just before you get to the New Testament there.
Yes, sir. What about it?
About all these nations are coming against the Messiah, against Jerusalem over there.
And they're doing it right now, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, it talks about two-thirds of the city will be destroyed, and one-third of the city be left, and they ravish the women. And
that will be during the tribulation period now.
This part here, is this already done come to pass?
No, sir.
Happened in the old time.
No. This will happen during the tribulation period.
That's when it's supposed to happen?
That's when it's going to happen, yes, sir.
I know some guy told me that it already happened. I didn't know.
Well, tell him to give you the proof of when it was, and then you send it to me. It has not happened.
What one guy was saying, I mean, you know, I didn't really accept what he said, you know.
Most people don't understand Bible prophecy because they haven't lived in it. You got to get in this Bible and live in it if you want to understand Bible prophecy.
Yeah, you got to get in there. There's a lot of... There's a guy put an email on there on this church where they, you know, a guy at work, he told me, said, I don't understand the King James Version. That they do like the Bible. If you saved, you can get understanding and wisdom from God if you saved.
You're right. Thank you, sir. I love you. I'm going to go to the next call. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. We're talking about Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes.
The book of Daniel says that Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon will escape out of the Antichrist's hands, and that's the nation of Jordan, which...
And they will defend Israel.
Yes, sir. And they stepped up against ISIS this week.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Hey, where is exactly that scripture? I already thought about it, but I hadn't looked it up to read it today. Give me where that scripture is located.
I don't have it right in front of me. I just know it's in the book of Daniel. I was reading it here this morning.
Well, go find it and then call me.
Okay.
I want to give it to people. It's amazing. That is such a fulfillment of the Bible until it takes your breath away.
I'll call your lady back and give it to you.
All right, you do that, please. You know, it's thrilling to see what happened with Jordan this week because God's word has made it plain that this nation of Jordan that came from the sons of Enoch, I'm sorry, the sons of Noah. Let me cut that off. I'm sorry. A radio comes in if I don't cut off the volume of the telephone. I want to tell you, it's beautiful. God's word. Excuse me there. I'm sorry for that. Didn't mean to sneeze in your face. But I've been dealing with this 3 weeks, but I'm about through it, I promise you. But Jordan, fitting right into the Bible, that they would be a friend to Israel. That they would be a friend, and they have suffered intently. And I'm telling you, ISIS would like to wipe them off the map. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but they'll have to go around Jordan when they march on Israel. I promise you that, because God takes care of his people. Did you know that? That God actually takes care of his people. And you can trust the Bible, and you can trust the Lord every time. Now grab your phone. Let me see if they got in here. Yes, forgive me here. I'm looking at these questions that have come in. All right, is America mentioned in prophecy? No, it is not. What about Ezekiel 38, where the merchants of Tarshish are mentioned and the lion and its club? That could be some kind of distant reference to England and Israel. In America, I'm sorry, but not direct. So when you say, is it mentioned, you got to have it direct. And if you just kind of read that into the scripture, that can be a little bit confusing. There is that possibility, okay, of this Tarshish and the islands, you know. And America is going to suffer, because if we don't stand with Israel, we are in trouble. Let me read that. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered the company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and good, to take a great spoil? A lot of people have thought that might have reference to Israel. It's a little bit unclear. I won't say it doesn't. I don't understand everything. I'm just learning. I hope you understand. We all are just learning. And I had a question here. Here it is. You online too? May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers, me again. That's Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45.
All right, let's go to Daniel, verse 11. And we can't read that many verses, of course. And excuse me, as I find the right place. Daniel 11?
Yes, sir.
And what verse actually says that? Can you tell me that?
I wrote down 36 through 45.
36 through 45. And the king shall do according to his will. Come on down here. Let me say to everybody out there, you can go to this. It's going to be somewhere in Daniel 11. Here it is, verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That is Jordan, by the way.
Yep.
There it is, verse 41 of Daniel 11. That's good to give everybody, because that just helps prove the Bible. That just helps prove the Bible, and you are on the air. That's not the right one. I've got another one here. Are you on the air? All right. Help me, ladies. Help me, ladies. I'm sorry. Don't want to miss anybody. You are important, and your question needs to be answered. Now, does anybody understand what ISIS really represents? Have we made a clear case to you? This booklet is available. ISIS, the Spirit and Führer of Gog and Magog. And I promise you, I do not make a definite case in which I say this has to be. I lay out the truth there for you. It is very evident. It looks to me like ISIS meets every criteria to be the early stage of development. See, when Russia came into Syria to take care of the chemical weapons, when Russia came into Syria to take care of the chemical weapons, don't you guess they're still there or not? There is no question they're still there. And they will be there. I knew immediately how that represented the preparation for this coming war of Gog and Magog. Because Syria is the staging ground. And there's Russia. Her ships are right off the coast. I mean, it's the staging ground. And now we see ISIS having developed as it has, and this is the center of their development. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it looks so awesome. It looks so awesome until it's almost beyond understanding. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend James. Talking about a Bible prophecy jumping off the pages, I was just looking at the Israeli Post, Jerusalem Post, and they said they will not stand by and let ISIS attack Jordan, that they would interfere.
Okay, that's good. Israel would interfere if ISIS attacks Jordan. Right. America's getting ready to help with that, too.
Well, Israel means it. I don't think America means anything they say anymore. As far as Obama's concerned, I think you're being way too kind. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. He does, at every given turn, he does everything he can to facilitate militant Islam. I don't think it's an accident.
I don't think it's an accident either. By the way, I try to be kind to everybody. But I don't think it's an accident. I think he's doing exactly what he believes.
Right. And which puts us in danger.
Oh, we are in deep danger, friend. Anybody in America that's not right with God, you are being careless for your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give? Thank you, sir, and God bless you. No question about it. We are in a dangerous position. Let me see if I don't have another call here. You on the... I'm not sure I do. I don't. Ladies, let me know if I have another call. My brain has give up on me. You can understand that, can't you? Mark of the beast. All right, here's a question here. Will the Antichrist rule over all nations, or are those who will be exempt? I've heard a preacher say that he will only rule in the Middle East, and that the nations that go into the 1,000-year reign will not be required to take the mark in order to buy and sell. That minister apparently didn't know the Bible, because when the Antichrist rules, he will rule the world. He will rule the world. And there will be no exemption about the mark of the beast. Anybody on the face of the earth that takes the mark of the beast will be eternally lost. Now, I don't understand this particular question, because I've never heard it asked like that, okay? Will the Antichrist rule over all the nations? I've heard that, and I say absolutely he will, not as some would teach. And this, by the way, is in Dake's Bible, that he only rules the Middle East, and that's one of the fallacies of Dake's Bible. I heard a preacher say that he will only rule in the Middle East, and that the nations that go into the 1,000-year reign will not be required to take the mark. I don't know where he got that, but what he's doing is removing the nations other than the Middle East from anything relative to the Antichrist, and saying they won't be made to take the mark. The world will be made to take the mark. The world will be made to take the mark. Now, do I have a call waiting, ladies? If I do, let me know. I'm waiting to make sure. I think I missed one while ago, and I apologize for that. Would the Antichrist come from Eastern European nations, or from the Muslims, or from the Catholic Church in Rome? The Antichrist will be an Assyrian. The church in Rome will be part of the false religion, and the false prophet may well come out of the Catholic Church. The false prophet, I said, may well be the Pope, as far as I'm concerned, but nobody knows that. There will be a false prophet, and that will be the religious crowd, and that's where Rome is connected. So Rome is not connected to the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be an Assyrian, and he will come out of the Syrian people, which live in northern Iraq and have spread many parts all over the world. But he will be a man of great ability. We don't know who he is. So he literally comes out he comes out of the Middle East, the nations that used to be part of Rome in the Middle Eastern section, which includes the Syrians, of course. Let's see if we have another. All right, give us a call. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anyone. Blessings. Here one says, please explain the Psalms 83 war. Now, I'm glad you asked that. There is no such thing as a Psalms 83 war yet to happen. There's no such thing. Now, let me help you with that so that I don't get crucified here. You go to Psalms 83, and you look at the nations named in Psalms 83 and see how many of them that don't even exist today. The Amaleks, the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre. You can just name them. The Assyrians are named. They don't even exist. Psalms 83 was nothing but a misnomer to take the heart of the people away from Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's been a real problem with making people think that the war of 38, 39, Ezekiel couldn't occur till first this war occurs. And I just tell you, I think it's a farce. I really do. And I've said that from the beginning. And by the way, I'm a friend to the author. Had a meal with him at the prophecy conference this year. But his ideas are not received by almost nobody in the prophetic world. I promise you. Almost nobody who's into the pre-trib rapture, who understands the war of Gog and Magog, agrees with Psalms 83 being a war that's going to happen. And let me tell you, some of the latest people who've joined him has been John Kilpatrick, a part of the Pensacola confusion, and then the Jewish man who wrote the book. Can't say the name of the book. All of a sudden, the Harbinger. Those both of those have now got in the playfield with Bill, the author of Psalms 83, and that spells pretty much doom to even the very idea of a war 83. Let's go to the phone here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
I've always believed that the Battle of Gog and Magog is going to be during the tribulation because of the 7-year peace treaty. Ezekiel 38:14 is where I'm basing that. It says, "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, thus saith the Lord God, in that day, when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou know it." That the only time Israel is going to dwell safely is during that 7-year period, right?
Well, they're able to defend themselves now. And I do not know exactly the point of the war of Gog and Magog. I believe it can be before the rapture. It can be right after the rapture. It can be any given period in there, but it's got to be long enough for them to clean up the result of it. And so I don't, when you go to mixing Gog and Magog with the 7-year tribulation period, you've really got some serious problems. And I think you have to say the war of Gog and Magog either occurs right before the rapture or immediately after the rapture. You certainly don't put it in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, that's my opinion, but, you know, I'm not anybody's enemy out there. These are things that nobody has a perfect understanding of everything. I certainly don't claim it, but it's a joy to talk to you. I got to go here. Hey, friends, this has been a great broadcast. I hope you have been blessed. I really do. I do my best in these broadcasts to try to minister to everybody, to make sure everybody's treated rightly. Call now, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And don't forget the booklet. I want you to have it, so you need to call quickly and get it. Okay, the ladies will stay here as long as you keep calling. We love you. We love you. God bless you. And Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, he's coming at any time. And I can hardly wait. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait for him to come. I'm going to leave when he comes. How about you? I'm going to leave when he comes. God bless you. You've been my friend. Been a great time together.